Okay. It's 7 p.m. Do I hear a motion to...
I make a motion to open the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner McCaff. All right. We'll do the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Steve's not going to be here. He had somebody die and it's a friend or something, so he's bowed out for this evening. We really didn't have anything from him anyhow. First off is, did everybody read over the minutes?
Yes.
Did anybody see anything? Print everything okay? If so, go ahead and motion to accept the minutes. For December.
I make a motion to accept the December minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Moulton. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Financial reports. Everybody have a chance to look at the financial reports? Look good again. Thank you, Dan. All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the December 2021 financial reports?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Is the invoice stuff going around? Which one it is? All right. All right. Beth, is the tax delinquency notices all the way out?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I need to know. All right. Old business. Anybody have any old business they want to talk about? There aren't any anywhere along the line. Holiday decoration prize awards. For those who don't know, I put the tally sheet on the back of your one of the sheets that I did the judging sheets in the back there, and the rules are on the front. And the reason why I gave you the rules was so you could look at the tally sheet, because anything that was disqualified, I marked it on the tally sheet. Okay? It gives an explanation of what the violation was. So, in first place, we had David and Susan Williams at 4404 Basin Court. Second place is Gwen Nee at 4002 Pacelli Place. And third place is Joe and Patty Hollenkamp at 4509 Mecklenburg Court.
Yes, sir.
So, I'll get the checks on Monday.
Can you do it right now?
First 3, 2, and 1. Channel we doing the radio checks on tonight? Channel 6 for the radio checks tonight. We're still, how we doing, anything new come up on equipment, on the emergency plan or anything like that?
I heard anything, but I did find some maps that show the pipeline locations.
Okay, great.
And, let's see, I'm going to have a list of, if anybody wants it, a list of all the contact emergency numbers for gas line.
Okay, good. We'll keep that, and we'll get, we'll come, everything we collect, we'll collect it all up, get it organized.
I've got a DVD somewhere that, that shows it, you know, the whole state of Kentucky.
Okay. Well, good. We'll keep that progress up on the plan. Once we get it all, a lot of stuff, we'll put together some notebooks. And
have you heard anything on the radar plan?
I haven't seen anything.
Okay,
we
can. You pass that to Bob,
please. You can check on that by Friday. Okay. Well, that's all I have for the old business. New business? Anybody have any new business? Man, this is
just waiting to hear, like, the go ahead with the streetlights. If you want to add additional streetlights.
Yeah. Okay, and we also got, I've got on here, we need to do the waste removal bid.
Good.
So I'll send you over sometime before the end of the week. Okay, I want to get this out. So probably tomorrow I'll send you over the bid posting for the paper and look over it. If it's okay with you, then we'll send it over to Bev to get it in the paper, because the minimum amount of time is 21 days. And next month, our city meeting is on February 15th. So we're already almost in it. So if we get it posted next week, then we can have the big 21 days almost.
When's their contract up?
Contract's up the 30th of June.
Okay.
All right. I'm surprised we haven't gotten any kind of update from them. Of course, it doesn't surprise me, because we never got told about the increase until after they already went into place.
Are we still on old business? This is new business.
Okay, go ahead, old business.
Well, I just was curious, because we talked about doing some e-prep stuff last month, and I went and read some of these, like Louisville's emergency preparedness. It's a freaking Bible. I mean, this
Yes.
So there's no way we need anything like that.
No.
And so we probably need a parameter on what we want. Does anybody know what class city we are?
Six.
Yeah, we're not a six. It doesn't exist anymore. That had changed in 2019.
Well, we're a home. It's a home rule.
It's a home rule. But there's only one city. There's only one city in the state of Kentucky that's not home rule.
I know. Well, no, there's two.
No, there was a
Lexington city. And Louisville.
Lexington's home rule.
No, Lexington.
I just read it today. I promise you. I was shocked by it, because, well, I thought, well, then I'll go and look at Lexington's.
Lexington and Louisville are two. Are they are a special class of class one?
Just tell me what I read.
I know.
So, and all that changed. Apparently, this was all on League of Cities. So it changed in 2015. And
yeah,
were, and that they were able to maintain their rural class, whatever this.
Right. You know, right.
So they're not. Personal.
Well, they still classify us as six class, because there are certain things that we can't do. Even though we are a home rule city, they still have each city as a, specified as a certain class.
Well, if I read it correctly, basically the classification was determined by the number of people that live in the city, and they basically got rid of that. We're the same as Lexington today. Well, regardless. But anyway, my point being is, Lexington's isn't as complicated as Louisville's, but it's complicated. So I guess realistically, if we're going to get this done, we need to determine what it is exactly we need to be prepared for. Because obviously, if there's some major event, there's going to be fire, police, and what have you from.
Yeah, we don't have. See, we don't have anything in any kind of collection that's in a physical item that gives us phone numbers, contact names, or who we need to be in, in contact with, like, with the pipeline. He's got a list of all the pipelines and all the contact numbers. That's what I'm trying to do, is collect it all. Now, once we get a bunch of it together, put it in a book for each one of us. Because if something happens to one, we've just still got to be able, somebody's got to take charge.
So I guess the question I have is what would be expected of us? That's what we need to be. If we're going to create this, that's what it needs to be really centered around, is what would be expected of the commission in the event of a major emergency. Communication was one of the big things, obviously, that we kind of got covered, right? The other thing that was interesting that I read about the communication aspects was basically in the event that you have no power, how do you stay in communication with outside of your group, right?
Right.
So how do we do that?
That's one of the issues we got to do. If Dennis has a ham radio.
So does the city of Louisville, are they going to communicate on a ham radio frequency?
The state ELC does. When we would do drills like this at Central State, I'd have to operate the ham radio, and they would pass information to me if they wanted me to put out anything. And
gotcha.
I would call the state ELC, which sometimes is in Frankfort, and if we were able to reach them, and give them the information that they needed.
Yeah, I'm just talking out loud, right? Because I mean,
right.
I was a little shocked when I started reading all this stuff and saw the legal jargon and the depth that some of this stuff was.
Right.
And so, in my mind, if the commission of Worthington Hills is going to have some type of emergency preparedness plan, it needs to be something that we can actually be helpful and useful
right.
when we implement it, right? I mean, having a book full of where the gas lines are and all, that's great, but if a gas line blows up, what are we going to do? What do we do? That's really what I think is
that's
we need to be prepared for.
Right. That's
because I don't see us getting involved in a gas line explosion.
No.
Yes, we do. And that's where you missed out on that training class we had last year.
Well, how would you get involved?
Because you have to. They go through scenarios on, like, what was it last year? It was a glass
down
line.
Down by the airport.
Down by the airport, okay.
The gas line blew.
Yeah. So they
who
went
did
through
you
the scenario.
First to
identify what the pipeline was carrying, who the carrier is, who needs to be contacted, where they need, you know. You're basically a support till the emergency team gets there. If you're there, you basically coordinate with the response teams till they get there.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's a lot to be prepared for.
Right? Yes, because we have gas lines.
Well, gas lines. We could be affected by an earthquake. We could
right.
be affected
yeah.
by a tornado. Whatever. There's
right.
a hundred things
right.
that they're all prepared for. So you're talking about a lot of work.
Oh yeah. We just need to be able to assist to the point to where somebody with higher authority gets there.
Well, then, shouldn't we just define what assist means? What that really means for all of us? Because, for example, let's just use the earthquake scenario. Let's just assume it's a bad one. Ain't nobody in this room going to be out on the streets trying to help anybody else until they get their stuff in order.
That's not the way it's supposed to work.
That's my whole point, is what even if we all rallied together, What would it be that we would be doing?
Okay, the first thing we have to do is set up an entry point. Okay? We have to cordon off the affected area.
Okay.
Then we have to identify what points somebody can't get into. Like with the Bay Run tornado. They should have blocked off Bay Run Drive.
Who's they?
The previous administration.
Okay.
Okay. They should at both ends, so that those flyby nights couldn't have gotten in there. you know, the ones that came up to the one.
So my question on that would be, wouldn't that be the responsibility of, temporarily, maybe for 15 or 20 minutes, it's us. Wouldn't that be something that the Jefferson County...
Did they show up before?
No,
they
didn't. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
That's just it. We need to be able to do what they won't do for us.
Well, then the question then for me is are we legally... Are we within our legal rights to do that?
Yes. We're responsible for public safety and health, and also the property that's been damaged or destroyed.
Okay.
It's our responsibility to lock it down.
So okay. How do we lock down more Newton Hills in the event of an earthquake?
Yeah,
I mean, really, just assume it's a bad earthquake. That's a lot of entry points.
Yeah, sawhorses.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is the reason why I have been on top of trying to get this started, at least so that we can come up with a basic plan. Just a basic plan. This is what we need to do. Because when I went to disaster preparedness training, the summit, back in 2015, I had FEMA there. And they gave the example of a flood. But what they did, what you should do when you have any kind of disaster, first off, you need to send one person out to get the list of names of anybody doing any work at all. Anything at all, you need to know what time they started, and basically, because they're not going to come to the entry point or the control point. But you have to have those names to get any kind of funds from FEMA. They need to know how many people were actually doing any kind of salvage or cleanup work. If you get, and you also have to know when they get a break. Like if we have a church.
So can you give me an example of who would be there in that scenario in the flood, who was coming in and doing work? Like a Bureau First type company, or
no, I'm talking about anybody. I'm talking about the residents and everything. You've got to get everybody's name, okay?
And so that's the first thing you do.
So you can account for all the time.
No. You're saying so that you can get funds from FEMA,
right?
Okay.
Right. You have to collect as much information because they're not going. You can't. They won't assume. They want dates and times and amount and of people. They also don't.
So, but would that not apply to the homeowner at each individual home?
Right. Yeah.
To keep up with all that.
No, you have to do it. Somebody has to be designated to go and get that name on that list.
Hmm.
That's why I say we need volunteers too. It can't be just the seven or eight.
That's a lot of people to cover in a flood.
Yeah. So they have regions. They had regional, like, neighborhood supervisors or whatever, okay? They basically, the guy that told us, he went through, he's a judge exec, he went through four floods up in Pendleton County during his terms in office. The first one, he basically didn't get hardly any money from FEMA because they didn't know what they were doing. But over the years, when they had the big snowstorm back in 14, where was it?
They had a big snowstorm.
Okay. Yeah. That county got the most money because they had done everything correctly than any county around them. Okay? That's the key to this. If we do it right, we get recovery funds. And that's just part of it. You still have to have people protecting property. You still have to have people controlling the movement within the city. The last thing you want to do is let people come screaming into the city trying to help without knowing who they are. So that's why we need a control point based off of what the emergency is. So there's a lot of stuff that has to be planned for. The contact numbers are important because not only do we have the gas lines in the city of Worthington Hills, we have gas lines running up and down Westport Road.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
In an earthquake, there's no telling how many freaking... Well, they got shutoffs on them, but still, it's important to know that we have fuel and gas and oil lines moving all over just in time.
Well, I guess for myself, we need to determine then, or we need to what is our goal? Is our goal to capture as much money from FEMA in a disaster as we can? Does that money go to the residents? Does that money go to the city? What does that look like? I mean, I just need to know what we're doing, because I'm telling you.
Well, here it is. We capture the names. The city files paperwork, okay? So does each one of the individual.
Sure.
Okay? So they're going to get whatever they file, okay? The city's going to get whatever they file. Because as long as they're doing work, it doesn't matter if it's on their property or not. We still have to account for those people. Our responsibility still belongs on the fact that they're out there doing any kind of salvage. And we need to know who's out there. Because if they're out there by themselves and fall down and get hurt on a pile of debris, and we don't know about it, then they're laying there for how long? Maybe profusely bleeding, okay? They're going to end up dying when they survive the earthquake.
Yeah.
So it's important. It's just important. We just need... You can't hit all the scenarios, but we have to have contact names. We have to be... Lord forbid, wonder if Louisville got completely wiped out.
No, listen, I get it. But I'm just saying, but you have to think in terms of seven. Because that's how many people are in this room.
I think something, like I was saying at the last meeting, something needs to be implemented to where a section is assigned to be secured by each council member. They need to have assigned phone numbers to contact EMS, the fire department, American Red Cross, before anything, people coming in and all that stuff.
We need a booklet.
Still off roads.
Each one of us are going to have an identical booklet. The idea is to collect as much stuff as we can. Once we get it collected, then we start compiling it into one book. Okay, once we get the one book to where we like it, then we make copies for enough for all the commission members. Okay, which doesn't stop there. We can still add to it. But the thing is we have to have a basic starting point. And that, number one, is contact list. Very important. I don't know how many can tell you what, other than 911, what the fire department's number is. I can't even find it.
And do we need to have, like, say, you know, this is implemented to go on forever as long as the city exists? I mean, do we need to contact the fire department ask them what number do we call if a tornado hits us again?
Well, it's 911. I mean, it's but the thing is we need individual contact numbers for individuals within the fire department. Ones that we can depend on, or if we want to put on, we need to have contact with, because they also have stuff that they can provide us with. Okay? Don't want to be calling 911 when there is an emergency, but if we need something, we want to be able to contact somebody and see if we can gather up information or if they can assist us in some way. Whatever we need to know who the point of contacts are. Just like when we went to, what was that thing that they had a couple of months ago? St. Matthew's was doing some fire assessment type of training. And what they did was they contacted myself, and then I asked them to also invite Dennis, because he's the mayor pro tem, because I didn't know what all was going to be involved. I thought it was going to be like disaster preparedness. But they basically put us through this, what do you expect of our company, our fire division, okay? What's important to you? And they went through that. So this is some of the stuff that might be important that they could help us out with that we're not familiar with.
Right.
Okay? We need to have that person's phone number or in contact to, invite him to our little group when we're doing it. Outside of the meeting one day, in this meeting on the second Tuesday somewhere, or third Tuesday.
I gave you the card to the weather guy at the shred event. So he's someone that could come.
Right.
And the fire department, say there's some houses that are level. The fire department may not assist in that. Search and rescue may have to come in.
Right.
So, I mean, there's, you know, different...
The most important thing that we have to do is right off the bat is lock it down.
But again, my question is, how do you do that?
I don't have an answer. Yeah. That's why we have to get an answer.
The question I would ask you is, should we not hire someone to do that as a city? Because I'm here to tell you, if I need to get down Northumberland and you're blocking me, I'm going to find a way around you.
And I don't expect anybody to be using a street. If we've got an emergency and we've got trees down, you just get around the rest of the
county. I'm being serious. It's do we have the authority? And if we have the authority...
Yes, we have the authority.
If we're going to do it, we need to do it in such a way that it doesn't look like a bunch of ding-dongs trying to block the road when that individual's family's house just fell over. I mean,
we have a Kentucky statute that requires us to have a disaster preparedness plan.
I agree with you. I hear you.
And that gives us the authority.
Okay. But again...
And if you want to know what that statute is, I'll provide that. I'll send it to you.
Well, I would suggest that if we're going to block entrances into and out of areas of the city or the entire city, that we need to look like we got authority.
For one thing, you're going to have fire and EMS here and police.
Right.
And you're going to be in constant contact with them.
If I'm not capable, right.
But you know, you have to be able to. You will be communicating back and forth with them, and we'll have.
But you can see what happened. Here's what I'm going to. You can see what happened with the tornado. You were out there, Dennis.
I know.
You didn't see one friggin' damn Louisville cop come into this town. The only person who we got was a public service guy.
It wasn't big enough.
It was a public service or public works guy who come in and promised that he had the chippers out there. Okay? So, see, that's what I'm saying. We can't depend on District 10. We can't depend on... If we have a big earthquake, we can't depend on anybody else coming into the city. So it comes down to, we have to, even if they're not, if they've never volunteered, we still have to have a plan in place of when, if the event does happen, we have a checklist. We go down and say, okay, here's what we need first off. Here's what we need next. Here's what we need next.
That's where a command post comes in.
Right.
You have
a command point.
And then you have... the people securing each area.
Right. It's not going to happen immediately, but we have to have a plan to get it to where it's coordinated and to where, you know, the first thing is the command point. Where's the command point going
to
be? Well, it depends on where the disaster is at.
You have to be flexible.
Yeah, you have to be flexible.
Well, one of the articles I read about communication was all about being run out of the back of a vehicle.
Which
makes your point to flexibility. That's a big operation though. Setting up communications and
one thing you can do. Central State does this. They get with a ham radio club, and these guys, they've been allowed to charge anything for something like that. If it's a disaster, they volunteer their services and they run radios and keep communications between the ELC or whoever else they need to communicate with.
See, I've been planning on getting my ham radio license. I have a ham radio. I've just not got around to doing the testing because COVID came. When I was looking to do it, then COVID came down and you have to test.
I think you can do it online now.
You can? Okay.
You need to check. I heard some guys talking about it.
So what would be interesting would be to find out what a city like Dawson Springs did.
Right.
With somebody with the population, because that's about the same population of this. Right. As Worthington.
Yeah, something more.
Because they took a direct hit. So, I mean, how did they communicate? How did they set up?
You know? They have their own fire department, too. See, that's the difference.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we go to hire a fire department?
No.
Right.
No.
Right.
Well, what, Worthington Hills? I mean, they
should. I'm just saying. We need to be realistic, not only for ourselves, but for the people that follow us in these roles, and set a plan up that's achievable.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
And not set the expectations so high that it can't be achieved.
Right.
Because we do have to depend on fire and rescue if it's a bad situation.
Well, one of the things. Dennis knows this. One of the things that I would like to have, once we get the property and have the building built, is an mini emergency center built in the basement of it.
Emergency center, what does that mean? Like radio?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the whole center.
Not a triage center.
No, but there may be enough room down there.
First aid,
there may be enough room down there to do it depending on big.
Well, listen,
all we need is something to where we can transmit out. And that's the thing that we just need. The one center that we went to at that ham radio one was in the fire department. This room was smaller than this room.
Yeah.
It was about the size of that, the front office. Okay, and how many radios they have in there? Probably
they have like three ham radios for different frequency ranges. They have fire and EMS scanner.
Yeah, so
and police scanner.
So how are we going to run that with the electricity though?
It's
I'm not being facetious. I'm just saying those are all things that have to be considered.
Well,
if
that's
serious
like
about
that, they all have backup generators.
Yeah, well, exactly.
That's how they run.
Exactly. That's exactly right. When we put our building together, we put it together so it takes care of stuff. Not just the community center, but it's also an emergency center. It doesn't have to be gigantic. It could be a room as big as this one, okay? That we could have monitors in. Because my idea is we get with Homeland Security and see if I can't get some of the money out of them out of grants. For this stuff.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen overnight, but we need a basic foot plan until we get a building plan. We need something basic. We need names and contact numbers. Because if we call 911, we may not get any response. But if we have contact within the organization, say a fire organization or we call Tate, see if he can get somebody. But in the case of the fire department, I'm telling you right now, to find a number to one of the fire divisions is like hunting for treasure. You can't find it. You have to have the contact's direct number. And that's what we're looking for. Direct numbers to important people in different divisions and numerous people throughout the city. All these small cities have contacts.
Published somewhere? No.
Have fun.
Yeah, just curious.
It all the divisions for the fire department, the Anchorage, Middletown, you can't find it on Louisville.gov no more. You can't even find the police department's numbers on Louisville.gov. I've tried to find the Division H number. No, you've got to go through the main number and push all these little numbers, and finally you get to somebody and say, well, I put you on hold, see if he's in. So, again, this is one of the reasons why I want to put this book together. I don't want to be negative about it, but we just need, the most important thing right now we need is contact numbers and also what to do in certain instances, what to be prepared for.
Okay.
Anything else?
Well, I was just, like I said, I looked at it, I saw it was a lot.
Well,
a lot.
And that's the reason why we had the statute. Right now, we are working under Louisville's. But I don't like just working under Louisville's. Because we've already experienced what happens when we work under Louisville's.
Yeah, but I mean, that worked out.
Everybody came together. But had it been worse, nobody was taking names down of who was doing work.
Yeah,
nobody had any idea how long people worked, if they ever had a break.
So you know, did that happen like as soon as the tornado hit, people started coming in and working?
Well, people.
We had a bunch of flybys. We had like two or three less than desirables come in.
Tornado chasers, I guess you would call.
Yeah. Tragedy. They were basically
chasers. Yeah.
The one also had a bunch of neighbors. Like, I went out there and cut trees all day.
Right, he cut trees.
And a lot of the neighbors that lived out there on those streets were, I was cutting, they were pulling it and removing it, clearing people's driveways, and so.
That's kind of what we did. I mean,
of course.
But we had some of these disaster people that come in and were charging people $1,000 or whatever to cut down trees and. Then it took them a week to come back and remove the debris like they promised.
Yeah. Well,
and you never know if they have any insurance or not.
Right, and that kind of falls back on the homeowner, you know, as far as hiring these people in.
But here again is, you know, it falls back on the homeowner, but the homeowner really doesn't know. The idea is once we get this plan, then we can put the plan online also.
Right.
So anybody can look at it.
Right.
We can have it set up so that they know what they should be doing and
so
what they shouldn't be doing.
Made aware and empowered.
Right. Right. Because we have people in the city that will volunteer. But we need to know who they are. We need to know where they're working at. We need to have that, not control, but we need to basically have documentation.
Do we have that list of people that have volunteered? I mean, have we started the list?
No.
Okay. We said that like you knew who they were. I was just asking.
I know a couple that will.
Well, I think there are a couple.
Yeah.
And I think that's evidence of who will and won't help, right?
And we know from the tornado who won't and who will.
Yeah. Well, and again, I mean, I think people help to the ability of their...
Right.
Or to their ability. Right.
Right.
So... But as far as blocking roads and assuming any kind of authoritative position, we just need to be real careful how we set that up and how we handle it. And if we're going to do that, I think we really need to communicate that well on the website at the very least. Hey, if something really bad happens, this will be us in the orange vest with the orange light on our cars, whatever. So that somebody doesn't... I mean, because, you know, you put somebody in a high-stress situation like that and you keep them from their house.
I could snap.
Yeah, it could go bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know it could go bad.
Yeah, but that's not the desired result we want. We want to be useful.
No, it's basically what we need is basically we need to check identification.
Yeah.
Once we can verify that they belong here, they can go in. But there has to be a process.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I was just...
Okay.
I was just curious. It was, like I said, it was... I started digging into it, I was like, oh my God.
Well, you think I've been trying to... This is what's been important to me.
Well, and again, I think that it's unrealistic to think that a city our size needs to, without a fire department, without a police department, there's a lot of things we don't have. Can be expected to have the same or similar plan as a Jefferson or a Lexington or a Bowling Green or an Owensboro. We got to think in terms of what we can and can't do.
That's right. But we still have to have a basic plan.
I hear you.
And that's what was when I took over as mayor, that was what one of my key objectives was, is to make people aware of what can happen. And sure enough, it could happen, and we know it. Now we know for sure.
Well, nobody's...
Luckily, no one got hurt. If there were fatalities or anything, that would be a whole different...
I had a scenario going where like three-quarters of Bay Run was gone. You know, if we lose three-quarters of Bay Run... It's not just the livelihoods of the people there. We could also leave loss of life, and then we have to be concerned with the remaining operation of the remaining city. Even if it's limping, we still have to maintain the operation. That's why it's important to have all this down. We have to have a plan. All right. Now the new business. All right. Just so y'all know, 2022 City of Warrington Hills property value reassessment is going on currently and is on schedule.
Outstanding.
So we should have, I emailed down to Melody this morning asking her what the status was. She says they're on schedule. They're not going to be behind like they were in 2017. She plans on having our tax bills or our tax assessment to us the third week in April, which is the normal date that they send it out. We will have to, again, do the evaluation. I'll do, you know, Steve and I will do the evaluation on making sure that we stay below that 4% cap on the revenue. That's so, as long as we stay below the 4% cap on the revenue, then we won't have to do anything. If the revenue is going to go above that 4%, then we'll have to decrease the cost per hundred or cost per thousand again, like we did back in 2017. But that's to come. Next month, I'll be doing the state of the city, and I'll be submitting a proposed fiscal year 2023 budget worksheet. I think we're going to do the budget the same way we did it this year as far as the ordinance with the revenue and the expense. Seems to be working out a lot better because we're more flexible that way. But we'll still have the worksheet to work with. Try to keep this on point. Anything else on new business? The only other thing is, and I talked to you, Commissioner Maltin earlier, we basically just got to get the waste removal bid proposal out this week, or early next week at the latest. Okay, commissioners' reports. All right, Commissioner Maltin.
Okay, 1-6, I received an email from the purchaser of 100 Northumberland wanting to confirm if his city taxes covered trash pickup. And he commented that he had contacted Rumpke and was told that they were no longer providing our trash service, that it was waste management. And he had left the phone number, so I called him back and spoke with him and told him that as far as I knew, it was still Rumpke, and that, yes, his city taxes did cover trash pickup, snow removal, street lights, and that I would contact Rumpke and confirm that they would be picking the trash up on Friday. I did call Rumpke on 1-8 and confirmed. I emailed the resident back. And at that time, he asked about putting the carport up. Were there any restrictions? And I told him that I would give Mayor Bob his information. So I emailed his information to Bob. 1-9, I did a streetlight check. 1-12, I received a voicemail about a streetlight out at 11007 Lunenburg Court. I called her back and left a voice message that I would report it. 1-12, I did a streetlight check, city streetlight check. I placed tape on the pole at 11007 Lunenburg. At the street pole that's loose on at Lunenburg Court and Lunenburg Drive. And then at Halifax and Lunenburg. And 1-18 this evening, I'm going to do a radio check, and I read all of January emails.
That's 4100 North Upport, right?
For the loose
The guy you talked to. Trash?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
4100, yeah.
Okay. Who wants to see next? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'll go next. Mine's real simple.
Commissioner Hall, go ahead.
No emails, no phone calls. And I, for the last 3 days, I've been just been reading over emergency preparedness documents. Pretty good. Much it this month. It was simple.
Have you sent that report to me yet?
No, but I will. That one's going to be easy tonight, man. Good. I'll have that done before I do my radio check.
Okay, thanks.
I'll All right. Thank you, Commissioner Hall.
I'll go next.
Thank you. Go ahead, Commissioner Adams.
I'll participate in the radio checks with Commissioner Metcalf and everyone tonight, January 18th. There were no citizen inquiries via phone or email this month. Drove the roads of the city of Arlington Hills to check for cracks and potholes. Mobetter, Kentucky pre-treated the roads with salt early in the morning of January 6th. Mobetter, Kentucky plowed the streets of Arlington Hills on the afternoon of January 7th. And Mobetter, Kentucky pre-treated the roads with salt on January 16th. That's it.
The 16th. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's what you said.
Yeah, I gave him the okay. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Commissioner Metcalf?
Drove the city on multiple occasions, including at night. Issued two parking permits to two locations. Went to the post office of Mayor Scullin on multiple occasions. Went to Dan Small's office with Mayor Scullin on one occasion. Stopped by Holiday Express and Mayor Sumner and paid the bill for a conference room.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Okay, is there anything else anybody want to discuss? Only thing I got left is, commissioners, don't forget your reports are due by Friday if you haven't gotten them in already. Okay? So, if there's nothing else, I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Doctor, second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Thank you, Commissioner Malcolm. And the time is 7:47.